It is called chronic wasting disease, and it affects the brain first. It's kind of described as just a total state of confusion. But then the disease starts to manifest itself into the body, and it's like a golf ball size wounds that show up on the body of the deer. And it's really a horrible disease, and I hope that doesn't get in South Carolina. I really don't, because it just moves so quickly. And as far as the cat goes, so when I go up to the cabin at night, I know there's a big cat on the property. I think it may be a bobcat, though. I have got some game cam pictures of a pair of bobcats, but they will, one of them, I don't know if it's the bobcats or not, but they will make a screaming noise at night, and it sounds just like a child or a young lady that's screaming in the woods. I mean, it's unnerving to listen to. And when Anna goes up there with me, it just gets unnerving is a good word, because you're just sitting there at the window thinking, what is that noise? And it's just those animals up there, they let me know real quick when I go up there and stay a day or two at a time. They let me know that this is their place, and you're just visiting, and we're gonna let you know. We're gonna let you know about it, especially the coyotes. I've got 8 or 10 coyotes that move through the area. They don't stay there, but they move through the area quite often, and those are pretty scary at night to listen to. They'll get you on pins and needles pretty quick, just listening. And sometimes I'll go down and close the windows. I mean, I can still hear them, but I just, it gets to the point where I just, my goodness, I don't know about his noises. It just gets me tore up sometimes.
Comment?
Yep.
This is KN4 TZW. The screaming you're hearing that's a mountain lion. And I'm from Madison County, North Carolina, which is just on the other side of Asheville, so not too far away. And I have seen a mountain lion. I had always heard where I lived at up in there. You know, I can hear the screaming and stuff, but I'd heard these panthers up in there. But I finally seen one day with my wife. And the way the sun was, the way it was positioned, it didn't know I was there, and it was probably 15 feet away, and it was very unnerving. This was the base of its tail was probably, 6 inches around. It was a huge animal, bigger than any dog I've ever seen, and it was staring. It was stopped and kind of wasn't really squatting like it's going to bounce on something, but it was just dead still, staring off down in the field of broom sage. And when it finally eased on down in there, it just blended perfectly, and you could not see it anymore. But I watched it for probably 3 or 4 minutes, and I reported it to the game people, and they told me there wasn't none around there, but there is. There's several of them, and the screaming is I believe it's a female that does most of that noise making, but anyway, that's interesting. KN4TZW.
Thanks for the info. So, oh my goodness. So the last time we heard it, me and my wife were up there, and let's assume that it is a cat, a mountain lion or whatever. But we were in the cabin, and there's a creek, probably, I don't know, 50 yards behind the cabin, and then off to the left is the 12-mile river. And it started screaming, I'd say probably 100 to 150 yards out. And then it would stop. And then, I don't know, 2 to 3 minutes later, it would move up, I don't know, 20, 30 yards at a time. And the last time we heard it, it was probably, I don't know, 75 yards off of the cabin. And I don't know what to think about that. That's a little unnerving because I take the video camera up there and film the wildlife and put it on my iPad for my mother to watch. She likes to watch the videos I make of the property up there. But I have three owls on the property that have been there since I took over the place for about 4 years now. And they are very talkative, but they don't start until about midnight. And I have been trying to film them at night with the microphone. I know I can't catch video footage at night, but I will walk down the river at night trying to catch them on the microphone, and I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. I don't have a problem with the animals. I enjoy, you know, looking at them and filming them, but you know, there's a little bit difference in, you know, an apex predator. I've got a pretty big bear that's up there that's been aggravating the snot out of me for about a year. And he got in my truck. I had a brand new truck, left the windows down with food in the truck. And I don't know, I hadn't had the truck a week. And he got in the truck, got my food, left me a nice little present in the truck. And I did not get to enjoy the smell of a new truck very long, if you know what I mean. So, but he didn't do any damage. He just got my food and left his marker in there, if you know what I mean, and hair and mud and everything else. So I don't know what I'm gonna do about this cat thing now. I don't know. I'll probably set my cameras back up and see if I can catch him, but. Gary, you still in there? Go ahead.
Can you eat in the net, KI4DOS? Well, you know, Chad, I've heard a lot of people say how quiet the woods are. They've never been out in the woods at night and listen to all that goes around. Being out in the woods, out there in nature, when there's not a whole lot of houses real close by, it gets pretty noisy. You were talking about the owls. We've got a couple of owls over here. We went out outside the other night, and there was two of them talking to each other back and forth. We've got a pond down. It's not on our property by any means, but there's a pond down not far from us. The geese and stuff come in, and they land on their journey north or south, whichever season it is, which way they're going. But they land down there and rest a little while and feed. But got the owls down there, Got some deer around here. I had a bear in the, maybe quarter of a mile from the house. Come through the neighborhood, or this area. Wasn't in my residential neighborhood, per se. But it's not quiet out there. As far as the cats go up there on your property, I agree. It's probably what that was, and it's probably what got that deer, I would think. I don't know. You'd have to kind of look at the marks and see if you could tell a little bit more about them, how far apart they were and how, you know, how deep and all of that. Of course, you're not going to find out the depth of them unless you harvest that deer. But the woods is not a quiet place at night. And as far as walking down the creek, I don't know. I'd probably still do it because I know you're not going to just go down there with a tape recorder.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. But I just so I haven't had an issue as far as fear goes. I don't let fear, I mean, fear is a good thing under certain conditions. But during the COVID quarantine, I went up there and added on a little place to the cabin, took the sawmill up there. And during quarantine, I just would work and add my little shelter on to the side of the cabin. Well, I just put the floor down and was getting ready to put the roof on, and caught something out of the corner of my eye, and there was the bear on the road right there in front of the cabin. I was 25, 30 yards away. He was not far. And he was there, and he was there watching me. And I went to the work trailer to get my carpenter pencil out of the trailer, and he did not move. He stayed right there about 25, 30 yards off of the trailer. And so I caught him out of the corner of my eye and started backstepping and got in the truck to, you know, try to find somewhere with some kind of decent shelter to it. So got in the truck, and he just moseyed right up underneath the walkway at the cabin and came up to the side of the truck. So I am thinking, okay, this is not normal for a bear. They normally run the other way. So I got in the truck and drove to the top of the hill. And he followed me all the way up the driveway. I took my phone out and filmed him following me up the road. You've been down that gravel road. You know how long it is. But that bear followed me in the truck, probably 25, 30 yards off of the truck, all the way to the gate. And I don't know, that just kind of changed things because, that's a big animal. And I never thought about a mountain lion. I never gave that any thought. But that might change things a little bit. I don't know, I have to be a little more careful at night, I guess, or early in the morning, because I like to get up right before dawn and watch the sun come up and see what I can see. But I don't think I'm going to put myself in that position at night anymore. I love to hear my owls. I do. And they are wonderful to listen to. They'll get the chattering back and forth of one another, and then there's two of them that they sound small. I don't know their actual size, but they sound small. I know that sounds weird, but, and they'll chatter back and forth, and then there's this really big one, has a very pronounced tone to it, and I assume he's a big bird, but when he opens up, he just shuts them up. They don't say anything else after he talks, and I guess he's letting them know he's the boss of the area. But I'm gonna have to get my cameras, move my cameras around, and see if I can figure out what's going on with this cat now. I'm glad you told me that, because I didn't think anything about that. KO4NUE.
Yeah, one more thing to think about. We don't think about a whole lot. Normally, if even the predators, you know, the bears and the bobcats and the mountain lions and all of that, if they hear us, they're going to try to avoid us, you know, for the most part. Now, the bear that's following you around, I don't know about that one. You must have built your cabin right in his bedroom or something. I don't know. But that's amazing. I'd love to see that video sometime. But I have been told, and here again, that when I go out in the woods, you know, go hunting and stuff, I get out there real early in the mornings and I make a little noise going in, but once I get in and get everything settled around me, everything gets quiet. Try not to be too noisy, but if I hear something, maybe a bear or something of that nature, he's going to hear me too, and he's going to know that I'm there. Maybe he'll turn around and go the other way. If not, me and him will have to come to some kind of agreement, you know, whether I go up a tree and he stays on the ground or he goes up a tree and I run the other direction. But anyway, just be careful. I'm glad I thought about that, and glad the other station came in and kind of put a little verification on the thoughts of them being in this area. I have heard some people say that we don't have them. I've heard other people say that we do. I have heard the screaming like you were talking about. Didn't know exactly what it was, but I figured it was some kind of cat. I didn't know if it was a bobcat or whatnot. But anyway, you and Anna, be careful when you go up there. And that's about all I've got over here on this end, Chad. Just thought I'd jump in and holler at you for a minute. And again, I'm glad the other station came in and gave us some input about the big cats. You and Anna have a good evening. What's left of it, take care. Have a great day tomorrow. And one thing about being retired, you were talking to Larry about, and Dave and some other folks, us retired folks don't ever get a day off. And I'll leave it at that. 7-3 there, young man. Talk to you later. KO4NUE, KI4DOS.
I appreciate you dropping by. And the last station with the comment, I'm sorry, I cannot remember your call. If you're still in there, I appreciate you letting me know. And I definitely will be a little bit more careful, because that can be a big animal, and I don't know that that's something that I want to deal with, especially at night. But I do appreciate you letting me know. And 7-3s to both of y'all. I appreciate the info. All right, well, let me stop here and see if there are any more check-ins before I close down the net. Any stations, Alpha through Zulu, please call KO4NUE or Net Control.
Net Control, this is KO4GWR. How copy?
4GWR, KO4NUE. I got you pretty good, Doug. You're a little bit of white noise going on, but anything on your mind tonight?
Thank you, Doug. I was just calling. I'm going to have to go 10 seconds here in a minute. But wanted to know if you had an estimate off the top of your head of how many check-ins we had tonight.
We're sitting at 54. So, 54. Not quite making the repeater. I can hear you key it up, but not quite making it in. Okay, so Doug, I'll give you one more opportunity, and then I'm going to move on and shut the net down. But if you're still in there and want to make a comment, come on, I'll stay up with you.
Yeah, net control, I was just...
You be safe. 73's to you, and I appreciate you hanging around with me. So, all right, have I missed anybody for comments at this time? Please call KO4NUE or Net Control.
KO4NUE, one last one. KC4EZN, Harry and Candler, and we'll just be negative and negative.
K4RQO, Kilo, Kilo, 4, really quick, operator. Cody, Charlie, Oscar, Delta Yankee over here in Cleveland, Georgia. And I do have comments.
Mr. Cody, I got you down for a comment. Stand by and let me get EZN. I did not get your first three, and I should know that because your call is just kind of rolls off of the tongue. But I think is it Harry? Is that it?
QSL is Kilo Charlie 4, Echo Zulu November. All Harry and Candler.
KC4EZN, I appreciate you checking in with us, and you have any comments, Harry?
Well, you're talking about cats, and going back about 30 years ago, I'm camping with the Boy Scouts, and we are in the Mills River area, the Cantrell Creek Trail, and this is where the old... When Vanderbilt had the forestry school started, this is where that building was located. The chimney's still there. Taking the scout troop in there, and we were taking a 50-mile hike for a week, and get set up, and one of the scouts came up to me and says, Mr. Frick says, I got something you need to see. And he took me back down the trail about a quarter of a mile, and there was a deer carcass draped around the base of a tree. And there was part of a hind quarter had been removed. And when I say removed, it wasn't cut with a knife. It was, I'm going to say clawed off, which doesn't sound quite right. But anyway, it was I don't know how much a deer weighs, but it wasn't a little one. Probably weighed 125, 150 pounds. But anyway, that carcass was draped around the base of the tree, and the kid says, what did that? And I said, well, I says, I don't know, but I says, what we're going to do is we're going to walk away from here real slow, and you're not going to tell anybody about this, because I says, whatever killed that deer is up there in the woods watching us, and that's its supper. And the only thing I can think of is it was a cat of some kind. That's all. Did not hear anything, and I did not go back the next morning and check and see if the deer carcass was still there either, because I didn't want the kids to even know anything about that. But anyway, I think they are around. I don't care what the game people say. I've talked to enough other people that get out in the woods, and they hear and they see, and there are cats around. It's maybe not many, but they're there. We'll turn it back to you, Chad. KC4EZN.
Let me know, Harry. I don't know what I'm gonna do about this. I don't think there's much I can do, but just, you know, keep my eyes peeled and kind of watch what's going on. But like I said, I do run a trap line up there, and I might need to up my caliber a little bit just in case, you know. But I appreciate you letting me know, and I'll keep an eye out. Okay, KK4, really quick operator, Mr. Cody, what you got for comments, sir?
Say, if I was tromping around the woods, I'd be carrying a Smith & Wesson 500 Magnum. That should pretty much take care of any critter you want to take care of out in the woods, especially bear, and whatever kind of cat y'all got to deal with. Although, you may not find any remains of the cat.
That definitely would do it. Yeah, I fired one of those one time, and that's a really big caliber for a handgun.
And unfortunately, I damaged my left wrist on the last deployment pretty bad, and I just cannot handle a big caliber like that. Now, for enjoyment, now, if my life depended on it, now that's a different situation, but I'm just going to just keep my eyes peeled, and I keep a little dispatch rifle with me when I run the trap line. But I think I might move up in caliber a little bit just to be secure, because I know, you know, anybody out there listening, that sounds odd for, but it sounded just like a child or a young adolescent female was screaming for her life. It was very unnerving, and we've heard it several times, but this particular night it was pretty close to the cabin, and it was moving closer to the cabin. Now it probably got 50, 75 yards away from the cabin, but it'll keep you on your pins and needles when you hear it, because we just were kind of, you know, had already bedded down for the night, and we were sitting there listening, and when it's dark and you're secluded in the woods, you hear a lot more than you hear. It's kind of hard to explain. I'm not sure how I'm going to explain it. It's just, it's really quiet. So you can hear a lot of things if you'll just pause and listen. But this, you didn't have to listen for it. It was obvious. It was extremely obvious. And it probably went on for, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. And we were just like, what is that? What is that? And I went and lowered the windows. They had the windows open, and went and lowered all of the windows down to, I don't know, a couple of inches. And I'm normally not like that. I don't let things bother me like that at night. But it was just so unnerving to hear it. I don't know of any other word to describe it other than unnerving. Unsettling. Just downright scary. And now I just starting to come together. But I will definitely keep my eyes open, and I will up my caliber a little bit. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. I appreciate the comment. But go ahead.
Roger on that. Yeah, that's pretty much my comment. I was just listening, and I was like, yeah, if I was in that predicament, I'd be carrying a 500 Magnum or a one for the fact of lugging the darn thing. I'd say Desert Eagle. Well, no, Desert Eagle wouldn't do that. A Desert Eagle 50 or even a Barrett 50 with a good scope.
One other comment about that is last year around that time, like I said, I've got some beavers and muskrats up there that's tearing my pond apart, and the muskrats, they burrow holes into the dam of the pond just under the water line, and that basically starts to compromise the dam. And I had to get a permit to, you know, get it under control and talk with DNR about it. Well, I had a trap set on the backside of the dam, and caught
a muskrat and went to check the trap the next morning, and I mean, half of the muskrat was gone. I don't know what got it, but it was around that time period. I don't know if big cats like that will eat a dead animal. I'll have to do some research on mountain lions to see. I think those things get pretty big, and that's something I definitely need to think about. But Cody, I appreciate the comments, and I'll keep that in mind. But all right, well, let me move on. This is KO4NUE for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Have I missed anyone for comments? And don't feel like you know we need to close things down. If anybody'd like to comment or talk, hey, come on, I'm up. So well, I'll stay with you. Go ahead, comment.
Hey, this is KO4JKB Duncan in Nashville. I was following your story about that blood-curdling scream that you heard in the woods, and it might have been a cat. It may have been a cat, but I had a similar experience about 20 years ago. I was in the woods, and it sounded like someone was actually being attacked and screaming for their life. But someone told me, a guy, he said, that's a screech owl, and screech owls sound like that. I could be wrong, but does that make any sense? Have you researched that?
I'll tell you that I've got three barred owls, B-A-R-R-E-D, on the property. They make a distinctive sound. And I don't know how much of this conversation you've been listening to, but there's three of them on the property, and one of them sounds like a very big bird. One of the things that I have found in the research about, you know, barred owls in South Carolina is that they obviously are very territorial. I'm not saying that it's not a screech owl. I'm not saying that at all. But I will tell you that whatever it was on the ground that night. And it was definitely moving on the ground. And I don't know any other way to describe it, but just I secured the cabin, if you know what I mean. And normally I leave the door open, and you know, leave the screen door open, and the windows, they don't have screens on them. And I mean, it's just, you know, but when you're unnerved to the point to where, okay, I'm not comfortable with the doors and windows being open anymore, that's it was that unnerving. And I had to convince my wife to go back, you know, a couple weeks later, because that was pretty scary for both of us. And I'll check into the screech owl and see what kind of sound they make. I never thought about that, but I'll check into it. There's a website you can go to that lists all of the birds in South Carolina. And you can click on a button that will play the sound that they make. And that's how I've identified the owls. But I'll do that for a screech owl and see if that's what it sounds like. But I'll check into it. But I appreciate you coming back and let me know. Anything else you'd like to add?
Last thing, I liked your story about the bear, and I live right in the city, and there's a family of bears that lives here, and there's a time the other day where my wife told me to let's get inside, because he just took our bird feeder apart like it was made out of tinfoil, and that was a big thing. I took pictures of it and put it on my page, and then just yesterday morning, I went out, and he's on my roof eating nuts. And this is like a 350-pound adult black bear, and had a big collar on it, with a big giant tracking device on it. But they're around, and Chad, maybe that sound was a cat. But anyway, I won't keep you up forever. But I love your stories, and yeah, much respect. KO4JKB.
Yeah, so with the bear, like I said, I'm not sure how much of this you've been listening to, but last year I bought a brand new truck and ordered it from the Dodge place. I didn't buy one off of, well, it's been 2 years now. I did not buy one off of the lot. I ordered it and had it built the way I wanted it. And 2500 Dodge. Leather seats, you know, I didn't get all the bells and whistles because I'm not interested in that because I use the truck. I work it. But there are certain things I wanted in it, and one of them was leather seats. So I load the truck up, hadn't had the thing 3 or 4 days, and you know, you're real careful when you get a new vehicle, and took it down to the cabin and backed up to the cabin, unloaded my stuff, and had some food in there. I don't know, I can't remember what it was, just a bunch of food in Walmart bags, and left the window down, didn't think a thing about it, didn't even cross my mind. So I bed down for the night and then get up next morning. I'm fixing my coffee, and I noticed that the mirror on the truck had been folded. It wasn't folded in. It was folded toward the hood of the truck, and I thought, I don't remember hanging my mirror on anything coming down here. And I said, well, I better go look, because if this brand new truck, I don't want to tear my mirror up. So I walked over to the truck and saw bear hair stuck in the hinge joint of the mirror and scratch marks. Now, he didn't scratch down to the paint, but, you know, scratch marks on the side of the truck. And basically what he did was stood on the running board of the truck and bit the steering wheel and I guess pulled himself into the truck by biting the steering wheel. Got in the truck, walked around, poked two holes in the leather seat. They're not big holes, but holes nonetheless. Peed in the truck and took all my food and left bear hair and red mud just all in the truck. And I was so mad. I was so mad. I didn't know what to do, you know. I mean, when you're angry like that and you don't have anything to take it out on, you know, it just like kill me, you know, brand new truck. And it still smells. I mean, every now and then I can still smell. I mean, I'm thinking, did you have to pee in the truck? I mean, come on. KO4NUE.
It's a funny story, and that's really, you know, I hate that for the truck, but I have a smaller story about that. I had a brand new car. My wife and I got a brand new car. Well, it was a used car, but it was new to us. And the first day we got it, we went to Cracker Barrel, and I came out of the Cracker Barrel, and there's this boyfriend girlfriend arguing, and he's sitting in her passenger seat when she's in the passenger seat, and their car door is resting up against our car and put a big dent in it. But I didn't do anything. But I can imagine that's a little ding, but a bear, you know, biting your steering wheel and ruining your seats and scratching the outside, that's a bad story. But I'll step out of here and let someone else chime in. I love hearing your stories, and really nice to hear you call the net. This is KO4JKV, and I'll be monitoring.
Duncan. I appreciate it. Appreciate you dropping by and sharing with me. So, just so you know, after he got in my truck, so I called and I went up the top of the hill because I don't have cell phone service down at the cabin. So I went up to the top of the hill and called 911 and just going to let the deputies know or the sheriff's department know that there was a bear in the area. You can call and post a public service announcement through the sheriff's department. So I called them and told them that, you know, I had a public service announcement or for the deputies. If there's a bear in the area, if you get any calls, just going to let you know that, hey, you got in my truck. And I was angry. I mean, a dispatcher could tell I was mad. And she says, well, do you need a deputy at your location? And I said, no, I don't need a deputy. I'm just calling you to let you know that if you get any more calls or complaints. And she says, well, she said, well, did he tear the truck up? And I said, well, he bit the steering wheel and peed in the truck. And she says, okay, well, let's hang on a minute. I'll be right back. So she put me on hold. And after a minute or two, she came back. She says, Mr. Hunter, I'm going to transfer you to stand by. So she transferred me to a biologist on staff with DNR or Clemson University. I don't know who he was, but he wanted to know my location, and there's no address for the property. It's just a plat number. And I said, well, I don't have an address for you to come to. And he just could not understand I didn't have an address. But I gave him the nearest address I could to get to fulfill what he wanted. And I said, what do you need an address for? And he said, I'm coming out there. I want to talk to you. So he comes out there and had another young guy with him in a DNR truck, and show me around. You know, what did you look at the truck and this, that, and the other? And then I told him, I said, well, he said, you got any food here? And I said, well, I got a deer feeder up there that I put game cameras in front of so I can take pictures of the deer feeder, or what's around the deer feeder. Let me let this radio drop. He takes the deer feeder. It's a 30-gallon deer feeder on a tripod with a timer on it. And I've got video of this, too. He picks that thing up like a circus ball and just flips it around like a piece of candy to get that corn out of there. And I just, you know, went up there and he saw the deer feeder and he said, oh, no, that's a no-no. You know, you can't call and complain about a bear when you got all this food up here. That's the problem, is the food, blah, blah, blah. You're going to have to get rid of that. And, oh, man. But I don't know. It was just, don't call a deputy and complain about a bear, because it's going to end up being a long, drawn-out issue if you do. But I do have some video of him flipping that thing around like he was juggling it, is what it looked like to me. But, I mean, it's just kind of like, in your face, I'm going to do what I want to do here. And he's right. There ain't much I can do about it, really.
Like I was mentioning earlier, the bear that goes to my backyard about every week, every 2 weeks. He doesn't do the same route every day. But I'll see him on the street, and then sometimes he's in my backyard or on my roof. But like when he was just picked our bird feeder off our stand and just sat down with it and just ate out of it. And then I was standing on the deck looking down. He just didn't even notice me. And then once in a while, he'd make eye contact and just not even pay attention. Just like, yeah, whatever. But, yeah, they don't care.
Exactly right. He's
So on the work trailer, I've got a welding machine that I keep on the work trailer. And he's basically comes up the river and messes around at the cabin, does what he wants to there. And he just goes straight up the road and just gets bird feeder after bird feeder after bird feeder. And this particular day, I had the work trailer set up down at the cabin, and two of the guys that lived down the road, they brought their bird feeder stands down there, and wanted me to straighten them out. One of them, he broke the ears off of it and had to weld it back on. And I keep a vise on the trailer so I can, you know, hold things and bend them if I need to. But basically a piece of half-inch conduit, metal conduit, and he just twisted it around like a pretzel. And just into everything. I mean, just does exactly what he wants, and he's not concerned about anything else but what he's doing. And it is funny, and I don't want to hurt the thing. I mean, I'll do what I gotta do if my life is threatened, but it's just mischievous. I mean, just if it's got food on it, or if food is around, he's gonna do what he wants to do, and I just have to film it or watch it. That's all I can do.
Outside, so I have my heat machine, so I might be a little sappy, but yeah, I know that we have this bear that's around here, you know, weekly, and me and my wife, we walk out to go to the car, and my wife weighs about 100 pounds, but I weigh 200, but really, it's nothing that the bear can handle, so we have bear spray, and we look both ways every day.
I didn't think about bear spray. Maybe I could, you know, get something that, I don't know. I'm gonna think about a mountain lion and a bear now too, so I'll figure something out. But right now he hasn't done anything physically to harm me, other than, you know, left me a nice little odor in my truck. But, I mean, I can laugh about it now, but it sure wasn't funny when it happened. But it is what it is. I don't live up there. I just go and visit, and I just let them, you know, they do what they got to do, and I just make sure I secure the doors now. But I don't know what to think about this cat thing, but I'll figure it out. But anyway, Mr. Duncan, I appreciate the comments, and definitely appreciate you hanging around with me and talking for a while. That makes me feel good when I can talk to people and just enjoy some good conversation. And that's exactly what's just happened. So I appreciate you hanging around with me. All right, well, Mr. Duncan, if you don't have any more comments, I'm gonna ask for anybody else that'd like to make a comment. I know it's kind of late, but if you want to hang around and talk for a few minutes, come on, I'll stay up with you as long as I can. KO4NUE.
Good story, and I even when I wake up tomorrow, I'm looking both ways for the bear. But that was a good conversation, and I'm glad you reciprocated, and I'm sure I'll talk to you soon, and I'll back out and leave it open to anybody else that wants to chime in, and again, thanks for holding the net. You have a real good voice for the radio, and we appreciate it. So this is KO4JKV, and I'll be clear.
KO4JKV, KO4NUE. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it. Y'all be safe, and Duncan, Mr. Duncan, I'm sorry. Be safe and look both ways. I'll have to remember that. So when I come out of the door at the cabin, I'll look both ways. that's a good one, but that's exactly what I need to do. So, all right. Well, this is KO4NUE,
any more comments about bears, cats, or anything else you want to talk about. I'm here, so let's go. No more comments. Are there any additional check-ins that'd like to check in for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net before I close it down? Please call KO4NUE or Net Control. So, please stand by for my net report. It's KO4NUE for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I will now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 7-3 to all on the net, and it's been a pleasure to be your net controller tonight. This is KO4NUE. My name is Chad. I'm clear. Everybody have a safe week.